Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, places, stories, and events in our Central Iowa community. Thank you for tuning in with us today. I am Mike Metz, your host for this hour, along with engineer Michael Murphy, and we have co-host Anna Magnuson. Later in the hour, Anna will assume her alias as Anna Banana and slip in to share her heart-to-heart Earth messages. It's a special day today, Earth Day, and it's also a special day for Ann Kinzel, so we felt she deserved a break. Hippo birdie to use, Ann.
Yes, today, April 22nd, April, as we observe Earth Day, with some programming specials, we want to encourage you to join us on Saturday, the 24th. KHOI will be partnering with the City of Ames and Iowa State University with Earth Day Appreciation Programming. Along with our KHOI team, you will hear from a number of voices, including Susan Guiazda, Mary Rankin, and other public servants, as other conservation-minded leaders of the City of Ames and Iowa State University. Some voices will be from around the Midwest and within Iowa. We hope this information, wisdom, and encouragement will guide us all as we grow to appreciate and care for our home. Earth Day, Earth Month, every day is Earth Day, right, Mike?
That's right. And Anna, we will start the day off on Saturday with a live report at 7:45 a.m. from the Ada Hayden Heritage Park. And we'll be visiting with Wolf Osterreich as he shares some of his observations there that morning and throughout what he's seen during the day.
Let's start off this Earth Day by listening to another voice of conservation, Amy Reese, Education Outreach Coordinator for the Raptor Resource Project and advocate for some of our feathered citizens. Like thousands of others since 2009, we have followed the Decorah Eagle Cam. Yet there is another story about the Raptor Resource Project and its director, Bob Anderson. When Bob came to Iowa to release peregrine falcons back onto the cliffs of the Mississippi River, little did we know what was yet to come. Peregrine falcons had been wiped out from DDT used in the 1950s as an insecticide. So in 1996, Bob came to Iowa to bring falcons back, and with the help of his partners with the Ho-Chunk Nation of Black River Falls, Wisconsin, and the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, the Raptor Resource Project succeeded in getting falcons back on the cliffs beginning in 2000. It's an amazing story that involved grit and pluck and perseverance and, most of all, Ho-Chunk blessings. KHOI has covered the Decorah Eagle Cam story and the peregrine falcons' return, and yesterday from their peregrine cam at Great Spirit Bluff, a pair of peregrine falcons were seen mating and preparing for their nesting season. The Raptor Resource Project cams, or cameras, and people has now grown to include John Howe, Dave Kester, Neil Reddick, Amy Reese, and here's Amy Reese from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and the Raptor Resource Project with her Earth Day Impressions 2021.
Amy Reese, Education Coordinator for the Raptor Resource Project. And rock climber extraordinaire. I saw the evolution. It's kind of whatever's in your heart. What's the message that we could take forward?
Well, you know, one of the things I'm thinking about, because we have peregrine falcons laying eggs, was all the work that went into recovering the peregrine falcon and bald eagle and other bird populations from the devastating effects of DDT. And we did it. It took a lot of work. If you look at when peregrine falcon recovery and when banning of DDT and sort of recognition of some of the harmful environmental effects of these toxic chemicals really started, you're looking at like probably the mid-60s to figure it out, late 60s and early 70s to raise awareness, to learn how to breed birds of prey, what recovery was going to look like.
1970, our first official Earth Day, woven right into that banning of the DDT era. And Gaylord Perry and those folks in Wisconsin that kind of spearheaded that movement forward. So you're right on.
We look now at people like Rachel Carson, and we're like, oh, you know, Rachel Carson, yay. But at the time, she really had to fight a lot of harmful perceptions about her, a lot of nefarious attacks on her by the chemical industry and by their friends. This was a lot of work and a lot of sacrifice, and we did it, and that's good. Yeah. So I'm really pleased about that. I'm pleased about what Bob Anderson did, you know, all the work he did to breed peregrines, bring them back, release them on the cliffs. That was work that was done with you as well and so many other people. But I'm also thinking about, like, what can we do moving forward? We're at a really important point right now. So some things that I would like to see in 2021, look around at your own life, whatever that looks like, and ask yourself, what can I do for the environment? What can I do for birds? What can I do for rivers or lakes or my yard, right? Maybe it's time to put the pesticides and the herbicides away. Maybe it's time to plant some native plants or shrubs or fruiting trees, things that animals really benefit from, to drop the idea of that monoculture green suburban lawn, right? It's time to let go of that. If you hunt and fish, it's time to go lead-free. Lead-free ammo's out there, lead-free tackle's out there. Don't use the leaded cord fishing line, please. So, you know, there's another thing you can do. Is there a group in your neighborhood or your community that you can get involved in? Is there a friends of park, river, lake, right? Because those can be really, really valuable. And then share your passion for nature with other people. Let them know how you feel. Like, it can be really hard to speak up, especially if you live in a community that you think maybe doesn't value the things that you value. But it's important to do. Talk to people you have coffee with. If you go to church, talk to people at church. Talk to people in the parent-teacher group. Like, whatever your group is, talk to people and let them know, because people tend to be more receptive to those messages than we think. And maybe when you talk about something big, like, I'm worried about global climate change, that's understandable, but it's hard for people to wrap their head around, right? Talk about the weather. Talk about the things you can do locally. That's really, really important. And that's my thoughts.
Yeah, and from an education coordinator of the Raptor Resource Project, and look at all the wonderful things that the Friends of the Decorah Eagles have created. It's just nothing short of phenomenal. But your reference to the peregrine falcons back on the cliffs, that was very visionary. But they were wiped out, as you mentioned, the era of Rachel Carson. Bald eagles, not quite so extreme, 417 nesting pairs in the lower 48 states. So, but they would have gone the same path as the peregrine falcons, I'm sure, into the
right.
1970s had DDT not been banned. And the Endangered Species Act started looking towards the habitat requirements of all those endangered species. But you're a very key individual in a very important project, and I can't thank you enough for sharing those perspectives on Earth Day 2021. But, Amy, is there anything else? Anything come to mind? Or?
I guess I'd like to thank all the people out there who are working on things already. Like, I want to thank, you know, obviously people who watch the Decorah Eagles and the Decorah North Eagles. You guys are great, and your enthusiasm and passion is really, really motivating. So I appreciate that. And other than that, you know, in addition to figuring out what you can do, 2020 was a really rough year. So in 2021, let's take the time to smell the flowers, relax, breathe, recover, let it all in.
And
make the world a better place.
A better place. And I'm not surprised that you would go to that gratitude for people just feeling grateful for the earth at this Earth Day 2021. Yes, gratitude. Where would we be without this team of individuals? And my gosh, it was sure wonderful that Bob Anderson brought Amy Reese into my life. So thank you.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Bob.
Yeah, these are wonderful thoughts, Amy. You're a very key individual in a very important project.
Thank you.
Yeah. Boy, I love the little D13, D14, the little fuzzballs
they're so much fun.
Isn't it fun? It's just, for some reason, the sun's always shining on them. The backlit sunlight at that nest is really just delightful. I don't know.
You know, I like that whole mess, and we can't say where it is, but I will say this. It's in a nice river valley, which anybody who watches it knows. And they have so many neighbors. It's so much fun to watch them and to hear all the different birds and the frogs and the animals. It's just great.
Yes, it is. Well, keep up the good work. Thank you, Amy Reese.
Thanks. Thank you, Pat Schlarbaum. It was really fun to talk to you.
Yeah. Keep looking up. Okay.
At 100%.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Anna, I just want to add to that that in 1970, I was a junior in high school, and at the time, Senator Gaylord Nelson gave talks throughout the state. And he actually proclaimed Earth Day at Northland College up in Ashland, Wisconsin. He made the announcement there. And I would just like to read one quick little quote from Rachel Carson, that the author of Silent Spring and some other fabulous books. And she was instrumental in getting her book was instrumental in making sure that we no longer use DDT. And her quote is, "There is something infinitely healing in the repeated refrains of nature." Unfortunately, her book was published in 1962, and she lived to see that, but unfortunately, she died of cancer, probably as a result of where she grew up in the coal and steel areas of Pittsburgh. She died of cancer in 1964.
Well, Mike, another key environmental voice is Doug Haar, president of Iowa Audubon. And as a retired biologist with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, Doug has devoted a lifetime striving to improve our environment into the 21st century.
Doug Haar, and what I would most like this year, 2021, since last year was the 50th, I wonder what your thoughts might be for some listener 50 years from now. What is it about 2021 that kind of comes into your priorities of what Earth Day appreciation means?
Well, this year, 2021 Earth Day, which of course is the 51st Earth Day, they're really taking a bigger look at several different things to do. There's an organization you can, well, it's earthday.org is the organization. Uh-huh. They're going to really start to focus on a number of different things. And of course, climate change is one of the real big things given the new administration's focus on climate change. And of course, that's probably the most important thing about Earth Day is what we can do about climate change.
Okay. How about the Secretary of the Interior? Any thoughts of Ms. Haaland?
You know, I'm really looking forward to seeing what she does. Uh-huh. With the lifetime as a wildlife biologist and always interested in conservation and the proper management of public lands, I think a Secretary of Interior is it's just extremely important that we have somebody that has an intense background or link to natural lands. Well, this is our first Native American person to ever be a Secretary of Interior, or actually any secretary in the U.S. government. And so I think her background from New Mexico and the public lands down there, the huge amount of public lands, I think is really going to mean a lot to what we try to do, at least in through the range of this administration, as long as it lasts, of really trying to do a lot more to protect public lands. And when we protect public lands, we are protecting the earth. And that's what Earth Day is all about.
Yeah. Kind of as an aside, Secretaries of the Interior, Stuart Udall, Bruce Babbitt, not a lot of names are coming to the forefront, you know, as people that are shining lights, except for this year. And I believe it's a very significant role that Haaland has accepted. And she's going to be criticized undoubtedly for about anything, but you'll have this. But what a significant overview for the 21st century to have a Native American in that role. It's heartwarming.
It really is. And, you know, having been on many Native American lands out west, our daughter at one time was a nurse at a hospital on some Native lands in New Mexico. And, I mean, it's just being out there visiting those Native lands and seeing what they do, what that land means to Native Americans, I mean, that's just something that all the rest of us Americans, no matter what our background is, yeah, that we have to really focus on the way that Native Americans think of their land, treat their land, and worship their land.
They don't own the land. The land owns all of us, ultimately. It's certainly a different perspective that she's going to bring to that office.
It certainly is, and it's certainly something I look forward to following a lot over the next 4 years here.
Yeah, that's for sure. The glass is half full. So anything else? I haven't noticed a lot of warbler reports and haven't heard about the prairie chickens yet.
And I'm kind of hoping to go down and see the prairie chickens on a nice morning. And warblers, yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. Haven't seen a single report yet that I can recall of a yellow-rumped warbler showing up in the mm-hmm. state, which, you know, is always the first thing to yeah. show up here in yeah. good flocks in the spring. The only thing I've seen a report of is somebody in southeast Iowa has reported seeing a pine warbler already, and oh, they are also an early migrant. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, and I've still feeding my juncos, so it's still early. But as I recall, it was the first Saturday of April when they used to like to host the prairie chicken event, and that was always kind of built around just before the hens are starting to visit the leks, for what it's worth. And so yeah. within the next 2 weeks, it should be pretty prime. Pretty fine.
It really should. And, yeah. and it's just always so much fun to go down there and see those males booming out there on the grounds and fighting with each other, you know, flying up in the air and battling each other a little bit. Yeah. And occasionally you see some hens around the edge, kind of hiding in the edge of the grass, right. watching them. But it's just such a spectacular thing to watch.
It is just a wonderful development that those managers and Southern Iowa really have excelled in getting those prairie chickens back, and the opportunity to see northern harriers and short-eared owls and barn owls.
Yes, going down there to see a prairie chicken is really great to see a lot of other things, too. You see other birds in migration in those big grasslands down there that we don't necessarily see so often right here in central Iowa.
Yeah. Well, enjoy your Harrier Marsh visits and your travels, and sure feel fortunate to be able to give you a call, Doug Harran, and include your voice. And I really do feel that people will listen and be curious about what we were up to in 2021.
Yes, I think this is going to be a great Earth Day this year, too.
Yeah, we've struggled. We've struggled, adapted, and I've had my second COVID shot. So life is
good. And I have, too.
Life is good. Did not know how this was going to unfold a year ago. And
we certainly did not.
Well, all the best, and I hope our trails could come together. Thanks for contributing to Community Radio, Doug Harp.
Okay, thank you, Pat. Enjoyed doing it.
Okay, have a good day.
You too.
Take care. Since last March, another strong environmental voice to KHOY is Carolyn Raffensperger. Carolyn is the director of the Science and Environmental Health Network, and as an attorney and prominent member of the Sierra Club, Carolyn's timely environmental messages have sustained us during this stressful COVID-19 era. We are so fortunate to include Carolyn once again. You know, how are we doing on Earth Day Appreciation 2021?
I want to speak especially to appreciating the Earth. It can be almost a background sensibility that the Earth is there, that we drink water, we breathe air, we eat food that's been pollinated, we eat food that's come from the winged ones and from the waters, and really are oblivious to the whole, all that our Earth gives us and that we give back, that this is, we are part of the Earth and the Earth is part of us. We are inseparable. And it's an opportunity to take account of all that the Earth gives us, from the serenity and the beauty, looking out the window or being out in the woods or the prairies or along a riverbank. And that serenity, that grace of being part of this wild and wonderful Earth. And yet our very lives depend on it. It's more than that reverence and that awe that we are gifted with such a fabulous experience on this planet. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked me if I wanted to go to the moon. I was like, no way. I wouldn't mind seeing the Earth, but to be in a place without plants, to be in a place without rivers. You know, there are lots of jokes about this is the only planet with chocolate or this is the only planet with wine, so I'm sticking with it. But last night I looked out my window before I turned off the lights, and I saw moths on the window for the first time this year.
And what a discovery. What a moment. Yeah.
It was, and I thought, oh, yeah, here we are. Here we are. You know, this is spring. This is when things come to life. And so to take a day of gratitude. You know, there are high holy days in so many religions that are interesting. Mm-hmm. And we're in the season of many of the great religious festivals. And in some cases, some cultures consider the first day of spring or around the new moon or the full moon of this period of time as sacred. And why not take a moment out for reverence and gratitude for all that the Earth is to us? Why not?
And what are you most appreciative of in 2021?
Oh, it can depend on the exact moment that that you're asking me in. But I had a difficult day yesterday. Lots of transitions in my household that are made more complicated by bureaucracies and forms and things that are daunting. I don't know how many bureaucracies can use forms that have acronyms that mean you cannot understand what they are talking about.
Oh, well, yeah.
And I sat down angry at my desk at just the incomprehensibility of these forms. And I took this breath and smelled my lemon tree in bloom. And I thought it felt almost conscious on the part of the lemon to give me that gift of smell in that moment. Mm-hmm. It was astonishing. And there aren't things that are blooming right now that have much smell. You know, most of our native things are, you know, not blooming, and we don't have much scent outside except for right now the smell of rain on earth. But it was that sense of communication with a being like this tree that I've lived with for a very long time, and that it can be the same with plants and animals outside, that moment of communion and of connection. I once was asked when I had had a sense of power. And at the time, what I saw masquerading as power in Washington, D.C., or in Des Moines, was so antithetical to anything I wanted that I asked two friends, one who is Navajo and one who's an Amish farmer. And the Amish farmer told me a story that day about petting an owl, that he had been out in the woods and the owl was asleep, and he reached down and scratched, and the owl was happy. The owl was happy. And this was an ecstatic moment for my friend, David Klein, the Amish farmer, and he's written some beautiful books about his connection to the natural world. And I was so astonished by that story, that David would have the capacity to do this. And I asked the Navajo man what power was for him. And he said, oh, it is when you have the ability to communicate with all the other beings, and they have a willingness to communicate with you. Wow. He said, that is power. And what I knew in that moment was that the power that I want in this world is the power of communion, the power of the ability to communicate with beings and their willingness to communicate with me. It includes humanity. It includes the black walnut outside my door. It includes cedar waxwings who are flying through. It's all of them. And so I think about what the pandemic has done to our ability to have that kind of power with each other rather than a power over. And that the power with that I want with humans, with the earth, is so different than what we grew up with in some cases, hearing that we're supposed to dominate the earth, dominate each other, and that that's the only power that matters. But I want that communion. And that lemon tree, which is sitting right next to my desk, gave me the great gift of that scent in that moment.
And it sounds like you turn to nature when you're immersed in harried activities and seeking solace?
Always. We have really good science evidence that mental health improves significantly and health if you've got a tree outside your window. And they've done studies of healing for people who are in hospitals. And if they have a cement wall on the other side of that window, healing can actually be slowed down, say, after a surgery. If they have a tree outside their window, their healing is accelerated. Mm-hmm. And so we know that this, that being able to look out the window, and at this moment I'm seeing chickadees flitting about, and I saw female cardinal just a little while ago. Common birds, but so, so beautiful. And so, yeah, the information that we have is that the natural world provides well-being for people. It's one of the reasons that people need equal access to nature. We also know that during the pandemic that people who were able to get out in a park or outside and exercise safely, have some kind of recreation, they survived the pandemic better. And so as a matter of policy, we would want to expand the natural areas, the rewilding places, so that we can have more surprises. The domesticated landscape reduces the element of surprise. Wild, the wilder the place, the more it is left to its own ways, the more likely we are going to be surprised by beauty and wonder.
Well, let's keep these Earth Day appreciation moments throughout the year. Let's keep those common species common, like the chickadees and the cardinals. And I'm sure you'll always welcome the smell of the earth each vernal equinox that we just celebrated. Is there anything else, Carolyn?
I'll just celebrate all of the new life. The miracle of a seed coming up is beyond belief. You know, that what information is contained in the seed that allows little leaves to come forward and come out of that is shocking to me. How does that happen? So I'm reveling in that, reveling in nest building and mating behavior. This is spring, and offspring means of spring. So children, offspring, really mean of spring. I'm celebrating and watching all of those things going on that say, after a long, cold, lonely winter, here comes the sun, here comes the rain, here comes new life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Carolyn Raffensperger, Director of the Science and Environmental Health Network, thank you for these updates. You're certainly a blessing to this Ames community and the universe.
Oh, thank you. And you are too. So many of the osprey and other wild ones that will be born can credit your work for their ability to survive and thrive in Iowa.
And all we did was link those incredible natural resources with people like yourself with the amazing, wonderful passion for those natural resources. That was just kind of a go-between. Thank you. Thank you.
And as we bid adieu to Carolyn Roethlisberger, I'd like to quote from Aldo Leopold, "We abuse land because we regard it as a commodity to belonging to us. When we see land as a community to which we belong, we may begin to use it with love and respect." If you are just tuning in, I am Mike Metz, your host for the hour, along with our engineer Mike Murphy and Ann Magnuson on KHOI Local Talk. You have been listening to a special Earth Day 2021 broadcast celebrating the voices around Iowa and beyond, commemorating our full day of Earth Day Appreciation 2021 on Saturday, the 24th of April. Beginning at 7:45, conservation leaders with the City of Ames and Iowa State University have mapped out the entire day of environmental programming until about 6 p.m. You won't want to miss a moment of all the important topics that will be presented on Saturday, April 24th, from 7:45 a.m. to 6 p.m. We now welcome Susan Quiazda, City of Ames Public Relations Officer, and Vanessa Baker-Latimer, Housing Coordinator. They've both joined us. Hello, Susan.
Hi, happy Earth Day.
Yeah, and it's not only Earth Day, but it's Ann Kinzel's special day. It's her birthday on Earth Day, so we're giving her off today.
Well, I wondered where Ann was. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
And happy Earth Day. So that works out pretty well.
It does. Do you have anything to share before we start visiting with Vanessa?
I think we should jump right into our information today. April is Fair Housing Month, and Vanessa has a lot of great information to share about the importance of Fair Housing Month. So I will let her go.
It sounds great. Hello, Vanessa.
Happy Earth Day to you. Happy Earth Day to you. Happy Earth Day.
Oh, that's great.
We're talking about your house. Yeah. Happy birthday, Ann.
And, you know, it's important. What I want to say is a lot of folks need to realize that we all need certain things in our life to survive. There are five basic things. It's food, water, a shelter, the way things are arranged appropriately, and the space to do that in. And housing is one of those things. That's the shelter. So you're here to talk to us about one of our basic needs.
Fair housing is definitely a basic need that we need to stay aware of. And so that's why the government has set aside April as Fair Housing Month, to continue educating the community, individuals, families, landlords, property owners, realtors, about the importance of fair housing, equal access for citizens in this country. So there's so many things that's going on. The pandemic has really kind of made things even worse regarding discrimination because of race, creed, color, sex, orientation, religion, that we have to make sure we're diligent about, that is against the law. And the theme this year is fair housing is just more than words on a Scrabble board. In law. So I'm excited to share the importance of celebrating Fair Housing Month.
Well, how did Fair Housing Month come about?
Okay. Well, the federal government set aside April as Fair Housing Month because of recent, over the years, discrimination against various classes of people. And so they set aside a month so that we, as housing providers, can make sure that we not only celebrate the accomplishments that we've made in making sure that people are treated fairly, but then to remind people that discrimination still exists in housing in this country.
You know, it was quite a period of time between when the Fair Housing Act was actually signed. Can you give us a little history of how this developed? It was during I believe President Johnson's administration, that this actually became an act.
That is right. It was after Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement was going on. President Johnson signed the act into law because of all the discrimination was happening against people of color. And to make it a law allowed the government to enforce it. and be able to monitor it and put a law out there just letting people know that you cannot discriminate against people who need housing because they look different than you or they sound different from you or they, you know, anything like that, or they think differently from you. They have the right to have housing in this country. And so that's kind of the background of how it started with all the civil rights movement, just like we're still doing civil rights movements today with all the issues that's happening with race, creed, color, and everything. It's still an opportunity to say, hey, we're not going to tolerate that in this country.
Great words to live by as far as I'm concerned. How are we doing in the city of Ames, in the local area right around Ames, with housing in general and the opportunities to provide for folks?
Well, you know, Ames has always been kind of a challenging market because the city and student population has, you know, raised the cost of rent. And so we have to make a real strong effort to make sure that everyone has access, especially families with children, low-income families, elderly, disabled. So we have several housing programs. We have a Section 8 program that helps people get into housing and afford housing as well. We have our CARES Act right now that, because of COVID, we're helping people with back rent and utilities for housing. We have a lot of human service agencies that help with deposits and utilities to keep people in housing. And so we have a variety of programs that are out there. But one of the things that I want to just say this morning and share, a lot of people don't take the time to file a discrimination suit because of life and the pandemic didn't have, you know, impact on it. That's why it's important that we have the Ames Human Relations Commission that can help individuals navigate filing a discrimination complaint. But a lot of people are just so caught up like, oh, I just got to have a place to stay. I'm going to ignore that he just discriminated against me because I have a service animal or that I have a child. And so that's why it's important for us to educate that we have organizations like the Ames Human Relations Commission that can help people navigate filing discrimination complaints.
And other than the time it would take, those services are free to those individuals. They just need to be educated as to their existence so that they can be helped along the way to provide for them.
Exactly. And we have resources on our website at www.cityofames.org. And you can go on the Human Relations Commission. And there's a lot of resources and information on how you can go about, first of all, even recognizing that you've been discriminated against and ways that they can help you navigate that process, both on the local, state, and federal levels.
With the pandemic, and you mentioned the CARES Act, can you go into a little more detail on the CARES Act and how that's at least affecting us locally here?
Certainly. Well, the city has received over $600,000 of CARES Act, and that is money that has been given to the city through our Community Development Block Grant Program as part of the stimulus package to help families with back rent, to help more homeowners with back mortgage payments, and to help both with utilities. So to date, we've assisted, we've paid out over $400,000 of help people pay their back rent. I mean, we have some people that owe $7,000 or $8,000 of back rent because they haven't been able to work since the pandemic really took place back in March of 2020. And so we've been processing applications to get them caught up so they don't get evicted. I just found out the other day that the moratorium for evicting people during the pandemic has been extended to June 30th of 2021, also for mortgage homeowners as well. So again, that's another piece that we need to educate people, because sometimes it doesn't filter down that people know that. And so landlords may be processing evictions right now, or tenants have no idea that that extension has been made. And the thing about it is sometimes it comes really late Like the current extension was March 31st. And so now it's been extended, but then people don't know that. So it's important that we have time on shows like yours to educate people that that extension is out there and what they need to do to be protected from being evicted.
Well, we definitely are honored to be of service for the communication, because that's obviously one thing that we could improve in as far as getting the word out to folks, so that that puts them at ease that those programs are available, and that you, there are agencies like yours or services like yours that will help them along the way. A question I have for you, Vanessa, is do we have, I know we're talking primarily about helping folks that are in existing housing. Is there some attachment, or do you work with trying to locate housing as well for individuals who are having difficulties staying in their current abode?
We have a program. We have suspended it because of trying to get the CARES program out. Okay. But we've had a program in the past to help people with deposit and first month's rent. Because, you know, it's a gap. You can't come up with deposit. You just got a job, so you haven't got paid, but yet you found a place and you need help with that deposit and first month's rent. Well, we had a continuing program for that. That's been slightly suspended because the CARES Act is more important, because we're trying to prevent evictions. But we have a lot of human service agencies like Salvation Army and Good Neighbor and The Bridge that are also helping people with deposits, so that we spend time helping people stay in their places, with helping with the back rent and utilities.
It's so ironic that, you know, we feel value as an individual when we contribute to society through work or a volunteering and that kind of thing, and to be penalized in between those programs. We've got to figure out how to bind up those, I call them social wounds, in a way that services like yours sure do help, but there are still some things that we could improve on, that's for sure. How do you work with groups like Habitat for Humanity, for example?
Okay, excellent. We have partnered with Habitat for Humanity for the last, I can't even say how long, but we work with them with, sometimes we buy dilapidated housing, we demolish the houses and we sell the land to Habitat. Or we buy a house and we sell it to Habitat and they refurbish it. We just entered into a partnership with them to do a new house at 1126 Grand Avenue, where it was a dilapidated, dangerous building house that we bought, tore down, and we have sold that land to Habitat. So I think this might be our 14th or 15th home with Habitat. So it's been a great partnership with them to provide housing for even the very lower income than we had in the past. So it's been great to work with them to accomplish getting housing built back or rehab, which is something that Habitat didn't do initially, but that's something that we came to say, hey, there's a lot of houses that can be rehabbed already existing here in Ames. And so they were willing to try it, and it's been working out great. So that's been a great partnership.
That's great. And that's, I'm sure the folks that Habitat is working with, that's got to give them a feeling of pride and ownership, because they are required to put in some of what we call sweat equity involved. And when you have, you know, I hate to keep using these terms, but when you have skin in the game, you have that pride and that feeling that here's something that you can be proud of.
Oh, no question. Commitment, both financially and sweat equity, when you feel like something is not just given to you, that you earned it and you helped make it happen. It's so important to help for people to know that they are part of it. They just didn't get a hand out. They got a hand up. So that's a big difference in making people feel very proud of being able to own a home or even stay in their rental unit.
That's a great catchphrase, a good thing to think about, a hand up instead of a handout. Vanessa, do you have anything else to add before we close?
I do. I want to do a couple of things. One, if people are looking for help under the CARES Act because they're falling behind in their rent or mortgage or need help because of utilities, please go to our website at www.cityofames.org/housing. And our applications are out there on our website for our CARES program. So I wanted to make sure that people are aware that we still have funds to help people in the pandemic. We also have applications out there for people who may be interested to see if they qualify to purchase a home. You know, we're in the process of working on a subdivision in West Ames that used to be the old Ames Middle School that we're hoping soon that we're going to have affordable housing out there available to low-income first-time homebuyers. And again, to recognize that fair housing is important and that the key to fair housing is everybody has to communicate. Both tenants and landlords have to communicate with each other because that's the key in making sure that everybody understands and is on the same page. And if you need help, we have help with the Ames Human Relations Commission to navigate that process. And so, again, thank you for the opportunity to share about fair housing and housing in general.
Well, thank you, Vanessa, for being one of our guests today. This is an important issue and an issue that we should all be concerned about as a growing cooperative community. Thank you, Vanessa. And Susan, thank you for joining us today. And we'll see you again on the radio. Anna, are you there?
Oh, I'm there. I was listening to the music in my head. I guess it was not playing in real life. But
I think what happened was Harry tipped the boat over or something there. He suddenly just went dead. Silent, well, I mean. He went silent. He'll be back.
Well,
not today.
Speaking of silent, I love the quote by Rachel Carson's from Silent Spring that you shared with the listeners earlier in the show, which is there's something infinitely healing in the repeated refrains of nature. And this heart-to-heart message by Tina B, I think, embraces the spirit of that quote that you shared with us, and it's titled Moving Forward. So 12 years ago, my husband and I lost our daughter, Shirley May, born full term, without a heartbeat. While this loss was hard, our farm provided support and surrounded us with all kinds of life. Birds chirping, trees budding, cows birthing. Just weeks prior to losing our daughter, I witnessed my first calf birth on the farm, a stillborn. John and I discussed this as a possibility for us, an unusual conversation for a couple about to have a baby. Following the birth, our heifer wailed painful cries all night for her calf. 2 days later, the mother calmed and stopped crying. She found a way to move forward. Like the trees budding every spring, or the return of birds after a long, cold winter, or even the sun rising each morning, this experience reminded me of the nature continues, grows, and moves forward. Little did I know that 3 weeks later, I would empathize with that heifer's pain. 4 months after the loss of our daughter, we became pregnant with our son, his due date exactly the same as his sister's. That spring, John calls jubilantly and says, "We just had a baby calf born early. He's okay and is going to make it. I think we're going to have our son early." Just 2 days later, nearly 6 weeks early, I gave birth to our son, Anderson, on March 20th, 2010, the first day of spring and National Agricultural Day. Although our son's lungs were not fully developed, he made it, coming home after 2 days in the NICU. On his birthday, the magnolia's blossoms shined brightly in celebration. Outside my office window, this beautiful 45-year-old magnolia tree still stands. It has encountered several blizzards, 3 floods, and even a tornado, still waving its majestic branches in the wind. Following my daughter's death, our magnolia tree blossoms 5 times a year, as if a reminder that there is still life. This tree symbolizes hope, moving forward, life. Everyone has a story to share. Stories are therapeutic and bring us hope. This hope has helped me to move forward one step at a time and one day at a time. Stories save us. Share your stories, and your story matters. So I want to thank Tina B. for sharing that heartfelt, heart-to-heart message with us this morning that does tie us to that quote. again, of that infinite healing in the repeated refrains of nature. And so happy Earth Day, everybody. Mike Murphy, what are you doing on You Name It Thursday?
As you mentioned, it is Earth Day. And so we'll be featuring music to celebrate the Earth, as well as music that, you know, raises some concerns about the state of things on the planet. Thanks for asking.
Yes, of course. So I think that I just wanted to go back to Tina B's message, and again, the quote, because you, on Saturday, we're going to be celebrating Earth Day all day with stories and information and inspiration. So very, very excited as you all are in the studio preparing for that.
Well, we certainly hope, we know you've got some activities going on, but we hope you can listen to us periodically. We'll be carrying your message throughout the day in the form of Earth Day messages, that's for sure. Heart to Heart is just that little ray of sunshine for all of us. That's for darn sure. You know, I'm going to pick another Alda Leopold quote here that I think is fitting. And I'm going to paraphrase it just a little bit. I want to add a word or two to this. And that is, the destruction of soil is the most fundamental kind of economic loss and spiritual loss which the human race can suffer. I think that that's fitting, especially for what we think of as an agricultural state. In some ways, that's, I think, a state of mind. We need to take time to really give thanks for the blessings we have here, and we need to take proper care of that soil and continue to nurture it, because, you know, there are individuals who their whole lifestyle is dependent on that. Not only certain people that are right there working it, and unfortunately some of them consider it dirt, and it's not. It's a living entity. And it provides what we all need, our food, either directly or indirectly. We're all dependent on what springs forth from that earth. And the sun that provides our energy, this is a system that we have to protect, nurture, and honor. And with that, we have a guest in the studio that you maybe caught wind of it, but can you say something, Mr. Guest?
Are you referring to Pat Schlarbaum?
Yes. Pat slipped in here very early this morning, after putting on about 600 miles on the road to honor other individuals, and he joined us. But poor Pat, he's going to have to take a nap, I think.
It's not so bad. Great show. Thank you, Anna. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike Murphy.
You have been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Remember that you can also hear it online at khoifm.org and find the links to our guests and information you heard during the program. KHOI provides a platform for citizen and public officials to air opinions and information. The views of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of KHOI. We are a community, nonprofit, nonpartisan media. Live streaming of our broadcast can be found online at khoifm.org.
Please consider becoming a member of this fine community radio station with your financial support. Go to our website at khoi.org and press the yellow donate button to begin the process of becoming a member. This program is produced by Lynn Carey and Ursula Rudenberg and engineered by Mike Murphy. Thank you, Michael. You heard from Susan Guyasta and Vanessa Baker-Latimer with the City of Ames.
I am your host, Mike Metz. And Anna, please take us out.
Our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! At 8 a.m. and Morning Masterpieces at 9 a.m. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. So thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting KHOI. And
see you again on the radio.
announcing Earth Day Appreciation for 2021 at KHOY on Saturday, April 24th from 7:45 a.m. to 5 p.m. Speakers, music, and information throughout the day and the opportunity to enjoy all the natural resources, wonderful people, fascinating stories, and informative events that showcase the city of Ames into the 21st century. We look forward to a day of celebrating the Earth and all that Ames provides to our landscape. See you Saturday at KHOY, April 24th, from 7:45 a.m. to 5 p.m. You are the community in community radio, strengthening our community through communication.